We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Benachmish and Chan Yaakov ben Chof Zelio. We are in Kalim Perik Shas Vav Mishnah of Nivle Hashara Temein. A navel. Navel is a liar. Hashara means it's for a song. So the Mishnah is telling us that this is susceptible to Tumah. Now, why is that? So you think about a lyre, or think about, let's say, guitar. So a guitar, so it's a string instrument, but there's an inside to it. So Mishnah says that Mekabel Tumah, it's a clay kibble, but in what way is that used? Well, you learned from the previous Mishnah, we spoke about the shovels with the scooper. If it's used for sweeping and not to put anything inside, so then it's not Mekabel Tumah. So if it's you have a guitar, you have a lyre, and it has an inside to it, so why is it Mekabel Tumah? So the Baraturi tells you, Temeim Shanavalim Vahakinoros Chalulim Him Umenukovim Litzad Hanimim. They have this opening where you have the strings. Lahashmiya Kol Hanigun Viderech Hamenagnim. What do the musicians typically do? Lahaniach Pesochon Hamoos Shemekabzim Bnei Adam Habayim Lishmoa. They gather the coins that people on the street, they're playing for people, and people put coins in. That's where they keep the coins. So this is something that is moved around, not only when it's empty, but even when it's full. So it's made out of wood. It has a clay kibble. It's used as a clay kibble. And therefore, the Nivle Hashara are therefore Temeim. As opposed to the Nivle Vene Levi, the Nivolim, the lyres that the Levim would use when they played in the Beis HaMikdash, those are Tahorim. Why those Tahorim? Because they were not, although they had a clay kibble, says the Baraita Tanura, She'enan asuyim lases pesochon mos, v'nashin l'kabel. It doesn't matter that it's a clay kibble, because you don't put money in there. It's not used. Those holes in the instrument are not used for the purpose of holding anything, of containing anything. And therefore, they are Tahor. Once we made a distinction between certain things that are the kalim that are in the Beis HaMikdash versus not in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to give other distinctions between those things that are in the Beis HaMikdash versus not. So the Mishnah then says, Kol HaMashkin Temeim. Baru mashke beis mitbechaya tahorin. We distinguish between different types of liquids. Now these, we know the seven liquids are that are mekabel tuma and are machshir food to be mekabel tuma are water, wine, oil, dvash tavorin, bees honey, milk, blood, and tal and dew. So those are the seven liquids. So the Mishnah tells us that all of these mashkim are susceptible to tuma. But the mashke in the base mitbechaya, which is the blood and the water, the liquids that you find in the base mitbechaya, where the slaughtering part of the base hamikdash, those are tahor. Why that should be is some debate. After all, if you think about liquids should be mekabel tumah midoraisa. Why are they not? So some hold that in fact they are mekabel tumah midoraisa, but the ability of tumah liquids to transmit tumah to other things, that's only midorabanan. And therefore what we're saying here is that the mashke beis mitbechaya, which happens to be the opinion of Yossi ben Yoezer in Adios, so when we say that mashke beis mitbechaya is tahor, it means it's Torah from transmitting tumah. The Chachamim did not make this extend it to the Beis HaMikdash. So outside the Beis HaMikdash, it can transmit Tumah Midrabanan, but inside the Beis HaMikdash, it cannot. But in terms of being Mekabel Tumah, so some Amoraim hold that in fact, they are Mekabel Tumah. The Mashke, the blood and the water in the Beis Mitzvah in the butchering section of the Azara, are Mekabel Tumah Midrabanan. So just they can't transmit Tumah. And others claim, no, liquids are not susceptible to Tumah Midrabanan at all. So that's the case. The Chachamim have the right to relax that din derabanan where they feel it's necessary. They didn't want to increase tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara speaks about psukim where perhaps we can learn this as well. We'll see a third of possible opinion, and that's the mashke beis mitbechaya. Therefore, are tahorim both from even kabel tumah and transmitting tumah. And another possibility is that yes, tumah of these seven liquids is midoraisa, and therefore blood and water in the Beis Mitzvachayah should be tameh. Nonetheless, there's halacha Mishmi Sinai that says that in the Beis HaMikdash that they are not going to be tameh. Now, this is all about them becoming tameh and transmitting tameh. There's another point which we made, which is clearly from the Psukim in Parsha Shmini, which is we mentioned many times, the halach of kiyutan, of the fact that these seven lukis are machshir something to kabbal tameh. That's based on Psukim clearly in the Chumash. And therefore, there are Psukim that actually tell us that there's an exception to that rule when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, that they're not even machshir in the Beis HaMikdash. These liquids, the ones that we have there, of course, which are water and blood. Then the Mishnah says, Kol ha-sfarim mitamin es hayadayim, all manuscripts, sfarim, sifrei Tanakh, are mitame your hands when you touch them, chutz mi sefer ha-azara, except the sefer Torah that was in the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kohen Gadol read on Yom Kippur and the Melech read during Hakel. So what is this tumas? We'll learn in Maseches Yodayim, and the Baruch Tanur gives you the whole story here. Lefisha b'tchila ha-yu matzniyim ochlim shel truma eitzel sifrei Torah. What used to happen was they would take truma bread and put it next to Sifrei Torah. Da'amikos, they would say, why would they do that? Da'ami hai kodesh v'hai kodesh. The Sefer Torah is kodesh. And Truma is kodesh. We want to keep it in a very holy place, in a very special place. Two things that are kodesh, that are holy, should be next to each other. What would happen? Kevin dechazu dechazu svarim lidev seder. What would happen? The mice were coming to eat the bread, the truma bread that was there. And as they were there, they were eating through the Sifrei Torah. So shach barim shayu mitzuyin eitzala ochlem hayu mafsidinosam. So Gozi made a gzeira shayu asfarim kol kisve hakodesh postlimus hatruma ma'agon. So they made a takana, made a gzeira that, you know what? That Sifrei Kodesh will passel truma if the truma touches them. So people said, I'm not keeping truma next to Sifrei Kodesh anymore because I don't want the truma to become tameh. The Kohen can't eat it anymore. So then they wouldn't have the mice problem. Well, v'gazru od, but they made an additional gzera that not only will kisvei hakodesh, will Sifrei Tanakh manuscripts become pasul if they touch truma, but od v'gazru shahayadaim hanogos bisvarim, that even your hands that touch svarim, you shnios lutuma, will have the status of a sheni lutuma upostlos esatruma, and will invalidate truma. That would meaning what? Now, let's say you watch normal before you eat truma, Kohen has to wash until Tilas Yadayim, because your hands generally have the status of Sheni L'Tumah. So, okay, you watch this until Tilas Yadayim, and then he is learning a little bit, touching a sefer. So, in order, because of this concern of keeping the truma next to Sifrei Torah, the Chachamim extended this takana and said that if you touch Sifrei Kodesh, your hands actually become tameh again, even though you wash them. You didn't touch anything, Tommy. Touch the Sefer Torah. Touch Sefer Nach. Your hands become a Sheni L'Tuma, and a Sheni L'Tuma, we know, makes Truma into a Shlishi, makes it possible, will make it Tameh, and therefore, this was an extension of the Gzera that simply touching Sifrei Tanakh make your hands Tameh and Pasul Truma. So the Mishnah is telling us that that's all true regarding Sifrei Tanakh that are not in the Azar and the Beis HaMikdash. The Sefer HaAzara that we said, the Kohen Gadol read on Yom Kippur that was in the Azara, there we don't have to worry about putting Truma in the Beis HaMikdash. That Sefer Torah was so chashuv, no one put Truma next to it. Then the Mishnah says, HaMarkov Torah. So they're back to the regular halachos. So the Baruch Hashem says, what's a markov? Sus shel eitz. It's a wooden horse, play horse. She'osin hat leitzanim l'rkovalov etzachik bo. This is used for the clowns or something. They're come for given for entertainment. There would be this play horse. There's no clay kibble, that's made out of wood. Therefore, it's Torah, it's not mekabel tumah. Next on the list, habatnun. What's a batnun? Baruch Tanura says it's an instrument. Kli nigun gadol, shaham, a very large instrument. Shaham nagin bo somchal, but no, the one who plays it would put it on his stomach. The okay, gives you name in another language. So that also we'll see is mekabel tumah, and this is similar to, let's say, the guitar. We spoke about the lyre, the navel, because there's an inside to it. And this also could be used, people could use the inside. What else is on the list? The batnun. Vahaniktumon, this is another musical instrument, which looks like, says the Baruch Tanura, a kli nigun ha'asui bitzuras regel shel eitz she'osev mishenechtecha raglo. It looks like a leg of an amputee, which obviously has a clay kibble for the limb to go inside. So that's also mikabel tumah. It's made out of wood and has a clay kibble. V'ha erus. So erus is a type of drum. Bar Tanur tells you that asukimin nafa. Let's make like a sieve, but v'shotchin al pivni or dock. You put a piece of leather, thin piece of leather on top, umakin alav b'makel, and you hit it with a stick. Umotzi kol tzolul, so it has a sound. Umalaz tambourine. So this is a percussion instrument, and there's an inside as well to it, although you cover it over when you play it, but you can remove the top of the drum, that piece of leather, and you can use the inside. And what's the inside used for? So the same way we spoke about the other the instruments, let's say the lyre is an example. That's where the musicians would put the money, the coins that people would give them for the entertainment. So therefore, these are mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yudo Mer Ha'erus Tamei Moshav. So we just spoke about the Erus. The Erus is this drum, this percussion instrument, has a container, but he says, no, even more so. It's Tamei Moshav. It has the high level of Tumah. Bar Tanur tells you, Im Yashav Alev Zav Zava Nida V'Yoledes. If these high level of Tumah people, the Zav that we had so many times, Zav Zava, the Nida and the Yoledes, Nasa Av HaTumah, that becomes the kli itself becomes an avatoma. We know that the kli that a zav or a zava, let's say, sits upon has this there an avatoma, and the kli tumes midras tells us that the kli becomes an avatoma like the person. It's not a lower level of tumah that it turns into a rishon. There's a big chumrah, and that can be metame adam, metame begadim, in order to be metame a person or kalim. The kli amu yuchad li yeshivahu, because this is a kli, says Rabbi Yehuda, this percussion instrument, this eros, is tame moshe because someone would sit on it. Who would sit on it? M'nei sheha'aloyis yosheves alav. Because the aloyis would sit upon it. What's the aloyis? So Bar Tanur says, klomar hamekonenes umiyaleles yosheves alav. The woman who is who would wail at the funerals, that we see in Moed Katan, actually hire women to do so. She would sit on this, she'd beat it, and also sit on it, and therefore it's in the Kabbalah types of them. It's an ayolis. So Bar Tanur tells you the fisher regilim lispoda lukonein alidein nigun shel oso kli. That would be part of the lamentation that we part during the eulogies at the funeral in order to elicit people's sadness. V'chein hamina kayom, says the Bar Tanur, ba'artzos hayishmelim. In the Arab countries, in fact, they would do this. They would have to play these instruments but sit down on them as well. The ayolis would sit down on them. The aloyis. So Bar Tanur says, lashon eli kibisula chagurasak, which we know from the end of the kinos on Tisha B'Av, but in fact it's really a pasuk in Yoel. Perek Aleph, pasuk Ches. It says, after speak about the terrible locust plague, it says, Eli, which means to lament, it's a kino, kivisula chagurasak, albal ne'ureha. That's the pasuk in Yoel, Perek Aleph, pasuk Ches. So the lamentation, like a besula who's wearing sackcloth, the fact that she lost her husband at such a young age. And then the Mishnah concludes, Mitzudas ha-chulda tameya. This is a wooden trap for a chulda, for a weasel, that is tamei, only tamei midirabanon. It's not a, it's not, doesn't have a clay kibble, it's a trap for a mouse, let's say. But nonetheless, says the Bar Tanur, why? Sheyesh aleha, that's the chulda rather, that's the weasel, it's larger. Sheyesh aleha tzuras kli, ma she'ein kein l'mitzudas achbar, so that's the difference. Ha'chulda tamei, mitzudas ha'chulda, the trap for a chulda is tamei, v'shel ha'chbarim tahora, but the one, the wooden mouse trap, wooden mouse trap, that's not the kabel tuma, that's flat, doesn't even have the form of a kli, and therefore that is Torah, that's not mekabel tuma. Perek tes zayin mishnah aleph. Kol kli eitz shenechlak lishnayim tahor. I will give exceptions in a moment, but the general rule is we know that if a kli is broken, it can't be used for its original function. So it's not mekabel tuma now because it's not considered a kli, and any tuma that it had, it no longer has because it's remember it's wood, not metal. It had a metal was an exception, so therefore it's broken. Kli is not mekabel tuma. So any and any tumah that it had, it's released from that tumah. And we also know that the kli that has not been finished yet, it's in the process, but don't have a gemar malacha, that's also not mekabel tumah. And there's discussion about what if you have in mind that this is the way I want to use the kli. So here we have a kli 8, shenechlak l'shtayim, a bunyan utensil that was tumah, and now broken into two parts, so now it's tohor. And so it loses its status of tumah. It's not susceptible to tumah. And those two pieces and any tumah that it had, it no longer has. Chutz mishulchan hakaful. So one exception. Well, several exceptions. Number one is a shulchan hakaful. Is a table, a tabletop that folds, that kaful, that folds. Why? We'll see the common denominator in a moment of all these kalim that are an exception to the rule. V'hatamchui habiznon. This is a large, tamchui is a dish. Large dish, but it has miznon from the word mizonos. You can put different cooked items in different parts of it. So you have a different, several little kalim, little inside that you could use, that you could use it for. It's not just one flat kli, but rather the different compartments to it. So, v'ha'efi foren shel ba'al habayis, this is a wooden chair or a bench made of different sections. So in all of these cases, these types of kalim, the wooden kalim, if they were tame and then they broke into parts, these pieces retain their status of tame and are susceptible to tame mikado l'haba because they themselves, even when they're broken, are considered kalim. They can be used the way they are, even without the other part. Therefore, these are exceptions to the rule. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hamages, v'kod habavli kayotze b'hen. Rabbi Yehuda adds other kalim. These are types of platters to put food on. They have the same status as well. If they break in half, each one remains tameh or susceptible to tumah as a separate kli because each part can be used the way it was. Obviously, the Tanakhama disagrees and holds when these kalim break, they lose their tumah status because they don't function. This kod habavli and mages type of platters are not like the others. Kli, then the Mishnah says, Kli eitz, me'ema sa'im mekablim tumah. At what point do we say that a kli that's made out of wood is susceptible to tumah? Hamitava ha'arisa mi'sheshufeim bo'or hadar. At the bed, or arisa is a crib or a cradle, so they are mekabel tumah once when the person who's making it, the craftsman, yeshufeim, smooths it out, the surface out, Beor hadak, using the rough skin of a fish that removes any of the splinters, any of the rough wood. So at that point, once you sand it down with this skin of the fish, so now it has the status of the kli, and it's, even though you didn't polish it up just yet, already now, that's gemar malacha, it's mekabel tumah. Gemar shelo lashuf tumeya. Says the Mishnah, though, let's say you had the resolve, I'm not planning to smooth it out. I'll use the way it is. I get a couple of splinters, not a big deal. So says Mishnah Tamei, now it's Tamei because it's considered a Kli. You had the resolve to use it the way it is. Therefore, the bed or the cradle, whatever it is, I'm a Kamal Tamei at this point. Rabbi Omer, Hamita Mishi Sarek Ba Shlosha Batim. He says the bed becomes susceptible to Tumah when the craftsman weaves, so this is an earlier stage, three rows across the width of the bed. You didn't finish all the weaving of the bed, and you certainly didn't smooth out the wood. Says Rabbi Meir, it's mekabel tumah anyway at this point because apparently you've already made it somewhat usable. Probably enough room maybe to put a pillow, right? When is it subject to? You have this long rope that you weave across the width of the bed. You do it three times, have three rows, and then you knot them. So clearly you didn't finish up the bed. At least one end of the small end of the bed is already woven. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that these shlosha batim, these three rows across the width of the bed is enough to give it the status of a kli, and therefore it's mekabel tumah at that point. Obviously, the Tanakhama holds no. You have to wait to the point where you remove it, you smooth it out, be'or hadag.